Now, it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the last hour of broadcasting this week live from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Portland, Oregon, where marijuana is legal and the sky has not fallen. I'm Radical Russ Belleville. Thanks for being here. Appreciate each and every one of you, our live listeners out there, as well as the legions of podcast listeners out there. Glad to be here for you on a daily or near daily basis, depending on my travel schedule and how it goes. If you can kick back a little, I'd really appreciate it, especially you free podcast listeners out there. It's great that I'm doing this free for what's now 623 shows independently, but I need the money. Gots to pay the bills. My landlord refuses to take retweets to pay rent, so if you could help support 420 Radio, just visit 420radio.org/donate. And it's just a little monthly bit, man. You can do $4.20 a month. You can do $9.99 a month. You can do $19.99 a month. You can do $29.99 a month. You can do, hell, you can do $1,000 a month if you want. I'm not going to stop you from sending as much money as you prefer. Or if you're not into the monthly thing, it's like one time you just want to throw a couple ducats my way, you can do that as well. There's a one-time donation button. Sends it straight to the PayPal. Helps me pay for the bandwidth and the CSAC ASCAP BMI licensing so I can play some great music for you coming up. Great segue, huh? Great music coming up from one of the 19 presidential candidates. And I'll give you a hint. It's not one of the crazy ones. That should narrow it down quite a bit, right? So, yeah, some of that music's coming up during our breaks. Also, Daily Toker Tune today, we've got Yonder Mountain String Band in celebration of Herb Thrasher being out at the Northwest String Summit this weekend. So there will not be a new live Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. I'll pull up one of the replays for you this evening. There will be a live Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, so stay tuned at 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 1 a.m. Atlanta Time for live DJed deep funk tracks coming to you from Big Daddy Fink in Atlanta. We got plenty of things to talk about today on Hour 2's show as well. The what about the children argument, right? There's this recent story came out of Washington State. In the Olympian, it's in the Seattle PI, it's in all these regional papers. Actually, Associated Press got it, so I'm sure it's gone nationwide. That the public health officials are increasingly concerned about children accidentally ingesting marijuana. I know, it's shocking. They say in the first half of this year, the Washington Poison Center says that it received 32 calls about children suffering from marijuana exposure, an increase from 24 in the same period in 2014. They had 31 calls involving teenagers, up from 24 the last year. Poison said it received a total of 133 calls about marijuana exposures in the first half of this year, an increase of 22% over the 109 reports in the first half of last year. About 2/3 of the cases reported this year were classified as having minor or no effects on the people who consume the marijuana. About 2/3 of 133. 2/3 of 133 is a number. It's what, 88? 89? So about 89 of them didn't really have much problem. And about 26% of the cases were classified as having major or moderate effect. Major or moderate effect, 133 times a 0.26. So 34, 35 cases. 34, 35 serious event marijuana ingestions. Overall, all ages, first half of 2014 in Washington State. Oh my God. So let's put some perspective on that. When we come back, we're going to take a look at just how dangerous marijuana poisonings are. And bad host. Marijuana ingestions are for kids. I try not to talk in the opponent's frames. Sorry. How bad these marijuana ingestions are for kids and where they really rank on the dangers facing our children today.
Don't touch that dial. We're right back to Radical Russ in just a few minutes. Hey, does anybody really have a dial anymore? You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Also coming up, we're going to take a look at how Colorado growers are beginning to move outdoors. Good news for the environment there. Also, speaking of the environment and our health, Vice News, Keegan Hamilton, the reporter that interviewed me for the Burnside Burn, continuing to report from Oregon and the West on marijuana legalization with his headline, "Legally Grown Pot Still Has a Toxic Pesticide Problem." Don't like the sounds of that. And our Daily Toker Tunes coming up.
Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York.
I rambled, I followed my footsteps from the sparkling sands of your diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're feeling the burn here on 420 Radio and Toker Talk Radio. That's Bernie Sanders and 30 Vermont Artists. That's the name of the track. Bernie Sanders and 30 Vermont Artists with their cover of This Land Is Your Land, featuring John Gailmore, Dick McCormick, and Nancy Beavan.
Then I was strolling, the wheat fields waving, the dust clouds rolling. A voice was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York.
All right, so like, you got to put this on the scale of these types of tunes. Where is it on the Shatner to, I guess, what's the other end of the scale? Which one of these guys ever did a good one of these? I don't know. I should have thought of that. But anyway, nice job, Bernie. That's Bernie Sanders with This Land Is Your Land. Welcome back to Toker Talk Radio. We were talking earlier about, you know, the advertising angle and no public view of marijuana. And one of the reasons, probably the reason always brought about for this is, what about the children? Won't somebody please, please think of the children? And it's just frustrating because the children are safer than ever. This idea that our children are in grave danger is not borne out by the facts. Now, if you're like me, I'm 47 years old. And if you're like me, I grew up in a city of about 20,000 people in Idaho, right? There wasn't a lot of crime or violence to worry about. When we were kids, we were allowed to play everywhere. I mean, my God, we went from edge of the city to edge of the city. We roamed in a pack. We weren't really a gang. We were just a bunch of kids on skateboards and having fun. And this was before cell phones, right? So this is like, you know, all right, kids, go play. And we'd go off and go to the Nazarene College and play pickup football on the field. Or when we were lucky, sometimes they left the athletic gear out, the big mats for like the pole vaulters and stuff. And we'd push them over by this big staircase and get up three stories high on the staircase and jump off onto those mats. I mean, we did all sorts of dangerous shit. We used to get on inner tubes and float through the canals that go through the city, the irrigation sloughs that go through Nampa, Idaho, underneath streets and shit. We found off of one creek, we found a watering hole and would tie ropes up on the tree and swing out in the middle of that shit. I mean, this was before cell phones. This was, from sun up to sundown, we'd go out and play. Well, nowadays, we've got this, I don't know, and I think it's stoked by, you know, so much of that fear media of, you know, abducted kids and all that shit that you see, you know, day after day on the TV. I think that's part of it. But this is a problem because there's parents getting busted now for allowing their kids to run around. This was the story in a suburb of D.C. And the MITIV children of Silver Spring, Maryland, on a Sunday, the kids who were age 10 and 6 went to the park less than a mile from the house with the parents' permission with the instructions to be home at 6. But instead, the cops pick them up, put them in the police cruiser. Now, this park is 3 blocks away, right? Park is 3 blocks away, but the cops put him in the cruiser, detain him there for 3 hours without meals or access to a restroom, take him to a facility for CPS where you're kept for another several hours. Parents don't find you till 6 hours later, 10:30 p.m. And this is because the kids were alone, playing without parental supervision. This is a topic that's being picked up in the media. It's called free-range children. That's what we were back in the day, apparently. Free-range children. Okay, so where this ties in with the marijuana debate. You get these stories like the Washington officials warn about marijuana exposure to kids, and they whine about, oh my God, we're up to 32 calls. We're up to 32 calls about kids suffering from marijuana exposure. That's up from 24. 32 kids affected by marijuana. Well, another thing that's been affecting kids lately are those laundry pods. You know what the laundry pods are? Those little plastic gel pre-measured laundry detergent. You put it in the washer and the packaging dissolves away, and then you got your perfect laundry load, right? Laundry detergent pods. This is another scare that's being foisted upon the public right now. But this one's actually a little scary. It says there's more than 11,000 calls to poison control centers in 2013 for laundry detergent exposure from these pods. Now, to be fair, the Washington numbers are just for the state of Washington, just for a half of year, 32. This is 11,000 calls nationally over a year. But if you extrapolate, 32 calls over half a year, 64 calls over a year, you multiply that times 50 states, even with that, you're getting what, 12,800 or 1,280, right? So, you know, 1,000, 1,200 compared to 11,000 with these laundry pods. Now, and the marijuana exposures may be greater, different states, different sizes, but, you know, just ballparking it here. But 11,000 calls for the laundry pods the kids are ingesting. And that sounds awful, doesn't it? But the problem with this, and this is like the problem Dr. Mitch brings up on our show when they say it doubles your chance of a heart attack or it triples your chance of this, is that you're taking an infinitesimally small number and doubling it, and you still have a pretty damn small number, right? It's the same idea as like, yes, if you buy a lottery ticket, you have X chance of winning the lottery, and if you buy two, you have 2X chance. But X is really tiny. You're not going to win the lottery most likely, okay? So the 11,000 laundry pod poisonings is about the same as pens and ink. Have kids gotten poisoned by pens and ink? There were 15,000 calls for air fresheners, 19,000 for deodorant, 20,000 for hand sanitizers, and 40,000 for bleach. And about 70,000 for acetaminophen, as far as what kids are getting into and having to be called to a poison control center. Desiccants, you know, those little packets that you get in like the beef jerky and like some consumer goods that keep the mold from happening. Desiccants are in the 25,000 range, right? Laundry pods are like around glue and pens. And the lowest thing they had here on the chart that's provided in Washington Post was dishwasher pods, rubbing alcohol. Rubbing alcohol is like 9,000. I doubt marijuana is even close to a fifth of that nationwide. And the difference is rubbing alcohol can kill a kid. And marijuana is not going to kill a kid. Now, I am not one to dismiss the idea of marijuana overdose because I've done it. I've been there. I've been curled up in the fetal position, dry heaving on a sidewalk on a Los Angeles night. Just could not believe the effects I was suffering. I started laughing, actually. It was so funny to me, like, as, you know, from a meta perspective that here I was, Mr. Pot Expert, ODing on pot in the middle of LA. But it's doable, man. You got to take a big freaking dab to do it, in my case. But it's doable. And I imagine these little kids, if they get, you know, they get too much in them, it's not a pleasant thing for them. But it's not going to kill them. They're going to be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. So we need to just get over ourselves, because statistically speaking, it's never been safer to be a kid in America. The mortality rates per 100,000 are half what they used to be when, even in the 1990s, we have the reports of missing children are down by about 50% since the 1990s. The pedestrians, kids being struck by cars, down by like 300% here, more than two-thirds, sorry, from 800 to 250. Just about every way you can measure it, kids are better off these days.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
No, it's right here in the Washington Post, for God's sake. It's never been a safer time to be a kid. So let's stop all this helicopter parenting and fretting that, oh my God, the kids might see an adult using marijuana. They might know that there's marijuana in a store. Then what? Then they might think, hey, there's something adults do, like porn shops and golf and beer.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The Fingerboard extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, normally we'd be speaking to Herb Thrasher right about now, but he is up in the mountains. He's there at Horning's Hideout here in Oregon for the Northwest String Summit. I don't know how many years they've been doing this, 17, 18, whatever it is. It's always a great festival of bluegrass and country and that kind of stuff. And you know, Herb, he likes that stuff. He likes people that shred on the guitar, banjo, mandolin, whatever it is. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's a stringed instrument and someone is shredding on it, Herb Thrasher likes it, whether it's amplified, distorted, or just plain, clean country licks. And for that, we're going to bring back one of the tunes that is played by a band, plays at the String Summit quite a bit. They might be up there this weekend, the Yonder Mountain String Band. We'd had a couple of clips from them playing at the Northwest String Summit, but I wanted to play this one instead. I think maybe they played this at a different summit. Maybe it was the same one, but it's their cover of the great Ozzy Osbourne tune, Crazy Train, for your Daily Toker Tunes on Rockin' Friday.
See if I can remember how does this one start. All aboard! We'll be right back.
Yonder Mountain String Band with Crazy Train, their cover of Ozzy Osbourne. Have a good time, Herb,
Allie,
up there at the Northwest
Crawl
String
on the fiddle. Jake Jolliffe on the mandolin.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn. Or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome! Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
In many ways, the world in which we're living today is an extremely depressing place. It's hard to deny that, and it's wrong to deny that. War, starvation, the degradation of our environment, people being manipulated and lulled into a stupor by the mass media, consumerism, the futile striving for happiness by earning more and more money to buy more and more things, and on it goes. But if we become depressed, overwhelmed by the obstacles in front of us in creating a world of sanity, of joy, of compassion, then we become part of the problem, another obstacle that others who are prepared to be socially and politically active will have to overcome. During the 1960s, when Martin Luther King Jr. and the people in the civil rights movement stood up to the bigots and the power structure who were denying Americans their basic human rights, they sang a song on marches, on picket lines, and in the jailhouses. A song which became a symbol of hope, a belief that one day we shall overcome, and that on this earth there will be peace, there will be justice, there will be human brotherhood.
That's right, more of Bernie Sanders and 30 Vermont artists with the civil rights anthem, We Shall Overcome. We shall see, Bernie. We shall see. All right, welcome back to Toker Talk Radio. Our phone lines are open at 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Or you can dial direct at 971-533-7111. Hope you enjoyed talking a little bit about the children. Oh my God, it's hard for me to believe what's going on here with the kids. How safe they are these days. Although I did see a disturbing statistic. You know, generally speaking, I think, and as if, you know, playing Bernie Sanders doesn't give it away, I'm kind of a lefty, right, as far as political stands on most things. But I have to admit, there's times when I cannot abide some wackiness on the left. So there's times when the Idaho boy comes out at me and just goes, nope, that ain't right. And one of these is a stat that I saw coming out of Seattle that said the vaccination rate for polio in Seattle is lower than that in like Zimbabwe and all the list, like the list of all these, you know, third world, you know, countries. You know, it was something like 80% or 89%. I don't remember what it was, but it was low. Very low compared, you know, for a first world American city. So it gets me into that that vaccination talk, that talk about this whole vaccination thing. You know me, I'm a fan of science. And one of the things we know about vaccinations is this thing called herd immunity, which is given a certain population, statistically speaking, you have to have X amount of that population vaccinated to protect everybody, right? It's like 95%, 96%, I don't know what it is, but it's a high number. Because not everyone can get vaccinated. Some, the youngest kids can't get vaccinated. They're not ready for it yet. Some older people can't get it. And there's some people with certain medical conditions who can't get vaccines. So to protect them, everybody else pretty much has to be vaccinated. Okay, so the herd is protected. But if you drop that below that herd immunity level, you begin to put people at risk. Not just your kid that you're not vaccinating, but some kid who can't get vaccinated, or an old person, or a person with a medical condition who can't get vaccinated. So you're risking other people through your particular choice. And this is where it gets dicey. Because California, Governor Jerry Brown there just passed and signed a law that ends most of the spiritual and personal exemptions for vaccination. Now, some of these religious types have these problems with vaccinations. And there's also lefties, liberal types who've got this problem with vaccination. They believe wacky stuff like vaccinations cause autism and stuff. So, and I know I'll get letters and I'll get tweets and stuff about this, but here's the point. Just like I believe that nobody has the right to tell me what I can put in my body, nobody has the right to tell me what I should put in my body either. So for the people that are against vaccination, that say, look, the government doesn't have a right to force us to put chemicals in our kids if we don't want to, or in ourselves if we don't want to, I'm with you on that. But with great power comes great responsibility, right? With this right, this power to choose not to be vaccinated, should also come with great responsibility. Number one, you're going to have to educate your own kids. You're going to have to homeschool them because you can't bring them to the public schools. Number two, you're going to have to drive everywhere you go because we can't have you getting on airplanes and buses and trains infecting the rest of us. Can't be in sports leagues, can't work in public buildings. You're going to have to telecommute. You get my drift? So yeah, this is the thing. It's like people think that they should get all these rights but not have to suffer the consequences of making their choices. Okay? I believe you have the right not to get vaccinated. Absolutely. I don't think the government should be able to force anything into you. But observing that choice means that you're going to face a consequence of not being invited into the public sphere. It's just like we have a right, you know this, even when you sign your driver's license for the implied consent, you have a right not to do a breathalyzer. You have a right not to give a urine sample or a blood draw. But there's a consequence to that choice. You lose your license automatically, and there's all sorts of other penalties that can be added if they prove that you were impaired behind the wheel or whatever, right? So you have a right, but it comes with consequences and fallout. And I don't know what got me on the vaccination thing. It's just thinking about that stat bothered me. And again, I always have to give the caveat that I have no children that I'm aware of. And who knows how my opinion might be different if I were a father. Who knows? But I'm tired of this what about the children thinking. And maybe I have that perspective because I don't have kids. You know, you always hear, your whole life changes when you have a child. Right? I got a brother who's got kids, you know, I could see the changes, right? But I don't like this idea we've had in the past 30 years of nerfing the world. That everything, that the ultimate goal is nobody ever gets hurt, nobody ever gets sick, nobody ever dies. Nobody ever gets injured. That's our ultimate goal. We have like our goals for like traffic safety are like, you know, we want to reduce to no traffic deaths ever. Well, that ain't going to happen unless you lower the speed limit to 5 miles an hour. And even then, somebody's going to drive off a bridge somewhere, right? So it's never going to happen. And it brings me to this idea of relative risk and what again, back to the idea of rights versus consequences, freedoms versus responsibilities. Like, we accept in this country that 55,000 people a year are going to die from alcohol poisoning. They're going to drink themselves to death. We're not even talking about the drunk driving wrecks, the spousal abuses, the murders, the crimes. Just the mere act of sitting in your home, not bugging anybody, drinking alcohol, 55,000 people are going to die from that. And we accept it. We think that's fine. We don't make it tougher for people to get alcohol. We don't have a limit, like you can only buy one bottle of alcohol at the liquor store. None of this strange arbitrary crap that we apply to marijuana consumers. You can only have an ounce, you can only grow four plants, and can't be seen in public, and you can't go to any place and have it served to you. You have to take it home. None of that do we apply to alcohol. We've seemed to accept that, 55K a year, that's about right. That's about right for me to be able to fly or drive to any city in America, just about. There's a few dry cities, I still recognize that, but go just about anywhere in America and be able to drink alcohol. We've decided, we've waited. Yeah, that's the freedom aspect there. Okay, well, we'll accept that. We make a trade-off when it comes to allowing people to drive cars. We know X number of people, thousands of people, will get into automobile accidents and die. And we're raising the speed limit everywhere. God, back in the 80s, man, I remember. I lived through when it was, everybody was going to the double nickel limit, to use my convoy jargon. The double nickel limit. Everybody's going down to 55, and states were screaming bloody murder, but they were forced to. They were strong-armed by the extortion of the Reagan administration. Y'all are going to lower your speed limits to 55, and the major reason was we wanted to save gas. That was really the reason, we wanted to save gas, but also, saves lives, and it did. Fewer people died. But lately, we've made this kind of trade-off, The cars are safer now, the roads are safer now. Gas is more plentiful now. Let's raise the speed limit to 80. No shit, man. The speed limit in Idaho and Utah and Wyoming is like 80 miles an hour outside of the urban areas, which is most everywhere. There are spots in Texas where the speed limit's 85 miles an hour. 85. And they're talking about there's a bill to raise it to 80 out here, or like 70, I think, out here in Oregon. We're like one of the few states left that has a 65 speed limit everywhere, max, right? Especially out west, in these big old states. But the point is that we make, as a society, these choices. That there's a certain amount of freedom to drive your car or drink your alcohol. And with that, we know there's going to be X number of drunk drivers and X number of alcoholic deaths and X number of wrecks on the road, but it's okay because, we can't be perfect and we got to allow people some freedom. So it's just maddening when marijuana, as it becomes legalized, is treated so much worse. It's treated like it's plutonium, like it's going to harm everyone if we're not super ultra careful with it. And we're going to have to come to a place as a society where we recognize that a certain amount of trade-off is okay. And this is why when these arguments come up about, whether or not there should be advertising, whether or not there should be publicly viewed use, and the what about the children argument comes up. Oh my God, if the children saw it, it would lower their perception of risk. It would invite initiation of use. And people on our side want to say, no, there's no evidence for that, and we don't know if it'll happen. And I will from time to time too, but I also like to posit, so what if it did? So what if it did? Certainly, there's more initiation of use. There's certainly more access for minors to alcohol, as legal as it is and as promoted as it is, yet nobody talks about reducing that. And we know this kills kids. Pot doesn't. So if we granted more liberty, more freedom to adults to be able to use pot openly, to be able to advertise it, would it lead to more youth use? Maybe it would. But is that the end of the world? Is that as bad as the car wrecks and the alcoholic cirrhosis and all the other things that we tolerate in this society? And especially if those kids getting access to marijuana is leading them away from access to harder, worse shit, maybe it's a good thing. Now, so far, the facts show us that teenagers are disapproving more and using less marijuana now in the legalized states. So this may be a moot point altogether. But let's just grow up as a society.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? War, the human disease that has plagued mankind forever. Sticks and stones, spears and knives, guns and cannonballs, tanks and planes, bombs and missiles, nerve gas, nuclear weapons, laser beams. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
That's Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and 30 Vermont artists. With Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago.
All right, so welcome back. It's Toker Talk Radio. And we're just having a nice Friday here. Want to end on some good news here, some positivity, and if you're a child of the 80s like me, one of your favorite things was a little comic strip called Bloom County. You remember Bloom County? Opus the Penguin, Bill the Cat, right? Bill the Cat, and Little Bloom, and Steve Dallas, and all the characters from Bloom County, and Bloom County ran from like December of 1980 to like August of 1989. So it's pretty much, you know, overlaps the Reagan administration. And for a generation before me, their comic strip that served this purpose was called Doonesbury, and Doonesbury's still around, still a great comic strip still out there. But the thing about the Bloom County is it really matched the 80s kind of mindset, those of us who were suffering through the reign of Ronald Reagan. Well, the good news is that Bloom County is back. Burke Breathed, the artist and writer, behind Bloom County, has begun regular strips, Bloom County 2015. And the catch is, he's not doing them for the syndicates. He's not doing for the newspapers. He's just posting them on his Facebook page. You can just read Bloom County. Now, I went and posted like the first four strips that are out now on my Facebook page at Radical Russ on Facebook, just because I'm so happy. And I think one of the best jokes on this is, the point is that, the main character is Opus, the penguin, right? And the idea is that Opus has woken up after 25 years of being asleep. And so they're saying, Opus, like, the whole world's changed, man. You need to go back to sleep. You don't even know what the internet is. You need to go to sleep. And Opus says, no, I'm not going back to the sleep and horror of 25 years ago. A world of Clinton versus Bush? A world where Arnold Schwarzenegger still acts in movies and Donald Trump runs around spouting poo-poo sauce in a Lhasa Apso hair extensions? Good riddance to that old nightmare. It's almost like he restarted Bloom County just to get that joke in. Because, how little some things have changed in 25 years. We've got a Bush versus a Clinton. We've got a Donald Trump. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, happy Bloom County is back. You can follow up on that on my webpage, my Facebook, facebook.com/RadicalRuss. Also, a couple other stories to finish up with in the marijuana world, and that is a story coming out of Reason.com today about commercial cannabis cultivators in Colorado moving outdoors. And they're pointing out that not only are they switching from the high-pressure sodium to the LED bulbs if they're working indoors, but some of these commercial growers are taking their facilities outdoors. And they spoke to this guy named Jim Bent, vice president of operations at Emerald Fields, quote, "In the past, when I had a 2,500-square-foot warehouse, and once we flicked on half of the building, maybe three-quarters of it, we were looking at costs to about 30 to 50 grand a month just in electric. But now they're moving it to a 28-acre outdoor facility. The benefits, of course, are reducing the carbon footprint and saving money." Bent said, "Not only does it help the environment, but it also helps you increase your sales because your cost per gram is a lot cheaper using greenhouses or outdoor methods of growing versus indoor with all the electricity and so forth." And one pot retailer interviewed by Jacob Sullum predicts that even with the taxes and the regulations, as these growers move outdoors, we're going to see eighths selling for $10 to $15. $10 to $15 an eighth. Now, that's a start. That's getting it closer. $80 an ounce. Now we're starting to talk. Now we're starting to get into the range of what's reasonable. And that's something that I've been battling here as I deal with the responsible Ohio stuff. And, you know, everybody's... I was arguing online with Ngayo Belem and San Ho Tree, two reformers on Twitter that, you know, that I highly respect, love these guys, especially in Ngayo, see them all the time, but they disagree with me about the responsible Ohio thing. And I can't wrap my mind around this idea that we need to keep punishing marijuana consumers until we get just the right business plan. We need to keep arresting and keep ticketing and keep ruining people's lives and throwing them into prisons and jails and rehabs. We need to keep doing that until we get just the right legalization. And part of the argument is, well, what about the small growers? Now, for me, maybe I got a different perspective on the small growers, because I think there's a lot of this, oh, they're just deified for having grown the weed and keeping us all smoking for years. But on the other side, they've also been gouging us for years. They've been charging $300 to $400 an ounce for something that we know it cost them $15 to $25 an ounce to grow, even indoors, even under the lights. These are people that haven't been paying taxes, haven't been following any regulations, who've may or may not have been spraying all sorts of shit on the weed for all we know, offering a limited selection, oftentimes shorting our bags, not delivering the product when it's promised, forcing us to sit around and wait 2-3 hours sometimes before we get our bag, not reliable as far as when we can find them. I mean, these are the people that we're talking about, aren't we? And so I'm supposed to be upset that they're not going to be able to make a living when there's taxes and regulations and capital requirements? Now, I don't like the idea of the oligopoly. I don't like the idea of limiting it in the Constitution to just 10 growers. But this idea that if we don't, the small growers will die is ludicrous. These rich fuckers that own the 10 grows, do you really think they know shit about growing weed? Of course they don't. Who are they going to hire? They're going to hire people that know how to grow weed, especially the really good growers. And these really good growers then will have a living, a job as a master grower. I mean, we're talking about farming, people. When you take the prohibition out of it, we're talking about farming a leaf crop. How many independent small tea growers do you know? There may be some, but there's not hundreds in every city, like there is hundreds of weed growers and dealers in every city. I mean, name one agricultural billionaire. I can name a few, but one that comes to mind is J.R. Simplot, who's the potato king of Idaho. He had the contract for McDonald's. He's a billionaire, right? He's dead now. Is he dead? I don't know if he's dead. I think he died. But anyway, his company lives on Simplot, right? It's a big agricultural company. And guess what? Whole bunches of small farmers work for him and make their living growing the potatoes that go to Simplot. Likewise, these companies that own the 10 big large grows are going to have to hire farmers to be able to tend them and grow in them. There will be jobs for growers. To me, the civil rights of it outweigh any business proposal part of it. And if you're confident that 2016 means that there's going to be a better legalization coming around, then how can you believe these groups that have never gotten anything on the ballot, never gotten a third of the signatures they need, and have no institutional support or major funding, will somehow get all of that for 2016 and get legalization on the ballot, but they'd somehow be impotent from amending the production part of an already existing law? Somehow they have the power to put a brand new law on the ballot, but not the power to amend an existing one. Why is that? I just don't get it. It's hard for me to just, and maybe I'm going to end up, you know, as time goes on, maybe I'll be the last guy supporting legalization. And you know, maybe my perception of this changes after 2016. To me, I look big picture on this stuff. And so I look at 2015, and if Ohio fails, that's a mark that hurts California in 2016. And to me, California 2016 is it. It's the Holy Grail. When California 2016 passes, everybody gets legalization soon after that. But if California 2016 fails, it's a long time before legalization gets back on the tracks. So before California 2016, I'm of the opinion, vote for legalization. After California wins in 2016, maybe then we have some luxury to sit back and wait for the perfect true legalization. That's all the time we got this week. Thanks for joining us. From Legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it.